you're looking for a good, well-known writer that has a perspective you probably will appreciate, our audience will certainly appreciate, and looks at things from a little more of a conservative point of view, a little more of a constitutional point of view, Alex Newman's your man. Not only is a great writer, he's a great person, at least as far as I've gotten to know him, and very concerned about where our country is going. He writes for The New American and WorldNet Daily. You can go to newamerican.com, WND.com, and see some of his articles. Alex Newman, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Daniel. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. What in the world comes to your mind as you try to make sense of what's been going on here the past couple months?
Well, you know, I think it's becoming clearer now that there are a whole bunch of very dangerous agendas being promoted in the face of this crisis. And, you know, whether it was orchestrated or contrived or whether they're just exploiting a crisis that would have happened on its own, I can't say that I know. But what I do know is that basically all these agenda items that they've had, the deep state, the globalists, the communists, you know, whatever, that they've had on their agenda for years now, some of them for decades, are now all materializing. So we have them shutting down all the churches. We have them pushing a cashless society and wanting to get rid of cash. We have them promoting, you know, a global currency. We have them promoting a global tax. 10% of GDP, global GDP, is what the UN tells us we need to fork over if we want them to save us from this coronavirus. It's just incredible how, you know, this one crisis is serving as a pretext to advance so many dangerous agendas all in one go. And it's very clear that they've got the people deliberately panicked. And it's a dangerous time. But, you know, I also think there could be some silver linings here. We just did a special report in the New American magazine, which is available for free online as a PDF for, you know, non-subscribers who don't get it in the mail as a print copy. And we break it all down. Basically, you have the mega banks through the Federal Reserve nationalizing the economy. You know, first, they destroy asset prices. Then they come in with their funny money that they print out of nothing, and they use it to buy stocks, bonds, and municipal bonds, corporate bonds, treasury bonds. You know, take your pick. Very, very dangerous time, Daniel. But I do hope that there will be some
dangerous. You say dangerous. Dangerous in what sense? I mean, obviously, we see that. We believe that. What? Why specifically is this so dangerous?
Well, I think the biggest dangers are to our liberties. You know, they're now accustoming us. So you have people like literally like, you know, trained SEALs just regurgitating the garbage that they see on TV. This is the new normal. We're never going back to the old normal. We got to flatten the curve. You know, we're all in this together. I mean, they're just spouting mindlessly these stupid slogans that were probably developed by some, you know, PR company on Madison Avenue for the, you know, the World Bank or the IMF or, you know, one of these institutions. And when people start regurgitating this kind of propaganda, there is a very real risk that it'll become reality and that this will be the new normal and that we will never go back to, you know, free or at least a semi-free society. We couldn't say we were a free society before we went into this anymore, but certainly more free than we are now and more free than the globalists hope will be when we get out of this. And I've been saying from the beginning, you know, viruses are dangerous. They can be dangerous. Diseases can be dangerous. In fact, you know, millions of people have died from diseases. But tyranny is much, much more dangerous. You know, we've seen 100 million people murdered by their own communist governments just in the last 100 years. That doesn't include the hundreds of millions of other people who were killed in senseless wars started by governments. So giving government all these new powers is, in my opinion, infinitely more dangerous than any kind of virus. And, you know, we see that now. They're just openly telling us we're going to have to get mandatory vaccines. We're going to have to carry these new papers. Bill Gates wants us to take these, you know, nanoparticle tattoos that are going to have our health history. This stuff is crazy. This is the stuff that if we had talked about it 5 years ago and said this is what the elites want, the fake media would have said, oh, you guys are all crazy, stupid, kook conspiracy theorists. And now we're supposed to be crazy, kook conspiracy theorists because we don't want these things. It's a very dangerous time, Daniel.
There's a University of Hawaii study about the 20th century, and they estimated, I think it was 250 million that were killed by governments in the 20th century, democide. And it, not wars, we're talking, you know, like Mao killing his people, or Hitler, or Stalin, or Pol Pot, or whatever, the killing fields. They estimate, to, you know, the University of Hawaii is not exactly a conservative bastion of education, and they estimate it's about a quarter of a billion in the 20th century alone. I don't know if you've seen
that. That's right. Yeah, that was R.J. Rummel's study, and you're right. These are not, you know, right-wing, hyper-conservative Trump supporters. Right? I mean, these are no. scholars coming up with these numbers. And you know, that's only the last century alone. If you take, you know, combined human history, you realize that government is one of the most, if not the most, significant killers of innocent people in the world. And for us to just surrender all our liberties to all-powerful government, and now we're moving very quickly in the direction of global government. I mean, they're openly telling us, right? Gordon Brown, Mr. New World Order, said we need a temporary global government to help us solve coronavirus. Anybody who thinks they'll dismantle the temporary global government after they're done with the coronavirus, you know, I've got some nice beachfront property in Nebraska. We'll talk after the show. I mean, this is ludicrous, right? This is absolutely ludicrous to give a central global authority complete power over our lives under the guise of fighting some invisible enemy. You know, frankly, I think it's crazy. But there's a lot of people, not just in America, but probably all over the world, who would be willing to do that right now. And this is an extreme danger.
The, you know, you mentioned Matt, the getting the slogan from Madison Avenue. I wasn't going to go here, but I'll go here with you. You could roll with this. They probably got it from Facebook. And the reason I say that is because I'm getting the impression through AI, through Facebook, through here, fill out these surveys. Oh, what do you think of this? Click yes, click no. All these surveys, whether it's Google or Facebook, all they're doing is gathering information in their algorithm. Is that a word? They're algorithming us over and over and testing all these slogans. So I think they probably use Mark Zuckerberg to come up with those slogans.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, this focus group stuff, sometimes they show you on TV, these fraudulent focus group things, that's real. You know, the UN has multi-million dollar budgets that go into public relations. So do all these different federal agencies. They figure out, you know, what's going to resonate with people. What kind of catchy slogan can we give them so that they'll be like trained SEALs? and this is where we are. You know, I don't even have TV. I don't watch TV. But you walk around and you talk to people. You're like, oh, so everybody on TV is telling us all that we need to flatten the curve, right? Or that we need to, that we're all in this together. I mean, you can tell the slogans that are being mindlessly parroted on the television because probably half the population runs around mindlessly regurgitating these slogans. And, you know, if we're not careful, we really are going to wake up on the other side of this with a lot less freedom and certainly a lot less prosperity than we've enjoyed in the past.
You know, what you just described, this is, you know, one of our both people that we admire, Charlotte Iserby. I don't know if you knew she had a stroke here recently. She was one of the experts on and founders of this outcome-based education and revealing this to the American people. What you just described is now it's not just outcome-based education for fifth graders. It's outcome-based education for adults, for a whole generation, for a whole country. Stimulus in, stimulus out. At the outcome they want, they have learned what buttons to push. Would you agree with that?
There's no question about it. You know, they program the children in government as well. Yeah, Charlotte is a very good friend of mine. I've worked with her and known her for many years now. Fantastic human being. And, you know, she's exactly right. The conditioning, the programming starts in government schools. They train you to react to their various stimuli in the way that they want you to react. They train you. They literally handicap you. And a lot of people struggle to understand this. They think they're sending their children to school to be educated, to learn facts, and to learn, you know, things like reading and writing and arithmetic. The government will tell you to your face that your kids aren't learning these things. I mean, their own data show that the kids are not learning how to read. They're not learning how to write. They're not learning how to do math. What they are learning are ways of thinking and basically conformity and submission to the collective, or at least to the collective that's presented on the television, which isn't even necessarily an accurate representation of what the actual collective of society believes. But this training starts in kindergarten and moves on through government schools. And then once you're out, you know, you'll recognize this phrase, too, lifelong learning. Right? So they recognize that society is going to be going through a whole lot of changes in the years and in the decades ahead. And they know old people get uncomfortable. I mean, you know, older people get uncomfortable with this. They, you know, they miss the good old days. So we've got to have lifelong learning going on all the time for all people so that they can get used to these changes that are coming and so that they will at least passively accept them, if not actively cheerlead for them. And we're watching that right now. I mean, it's a giant psyop, I think. And that's one of the reasons we don't watch television. You know, we don't want to participate in the giant psyop. It's a crazy time, Daniel.
Should we be on, I mean, this gets me on edge. It's one thing to talk about, you know, 5 years ago to talk about this. And I liked it better when maybe your neighbor didn't believe you. Now your neighbor believes you, but it's like it's here. I mean, should we be on edge here?
Well, you know, I think we should be. I think in one sense we need to be clear. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. So for us to be fearful, I think would be a mistake. But we should be concerned here. And, I mean, we should be paying very close attention to what's happening. This is a time when a lot of people are waking up. You know, Robert Welch used to say that as the insiders get closer to their goals, it's going to be the equivalent of them running naked through the street, right? All these things that we told people for 50, 60 years were coming, and the media said, oh, you guys are kooks, you guys are crazy, you guys are extreme, you guys are fringe, whatever. Now they're telling you to your face that they're bringing all these things about. And I mean, they're just come out of the closet, right? Yeah, we're going to forcibly inject you with things. Yeah, we're going to put a micro tattoo on you and keep track of it. Yeah, we're going to build a global government. Yeah, we're going to rob your savings. Yeah, we're going to shut down your economy. Yeah, we'll tell you if and when you get to go to church. This is here now, right? So I think we should be very, very concerned. In fact, I think we'd be foolish and naive not to be concerned, Daniel. But what we do need to be careful is not to let that concern morph into fear or paranoia or, other mindsets that enable, very, very bad outcomes like the imposition of controlled solutions that the establishment have been planning all along.
No, this is, we need to, if it's going to put us on edge, it needs to tip us over the edge to action. We need to take action in faith right now more than ever. You mentioned, Robert Welch. Yeah, tell people who he is. Some people may not know who, from John Birch.
Sure, yeah. So Robert Welch, he was a very successful businessman, very, very successful businessman. And he started realizing that things were not as they seemed. And, you know, this was back in the 1940s, 1950s, long before the Internet. He started connecting dots and realizing, hey, there is a global conspiracy to enslave, as John F. Kennedy would later say, every man, woman, and child. And so he started connecting the dots. He said, whoa, they're creating this United Nations to be the nucleus of a world government. And at first, when he looked at this, he thought this was the communist conspiracy. Later, as he studied it for longer, he realized that communism was merely just one arm of a much greater conspiracy. And so his contribution to the freedom fight was to basically get out of business and establish the John Birch Society. For those who aren't familiar with the John Birch Society, it's a national grassroots organization, probably the most successful conservative grassroots organization that's ever existed in American history. It's named after Captain John Birch, who was a Christian missionary who went to China, tried to preach the gospel there, and then during World War II, he ended up being sucked into military intelligence, and out of a patriotic duty, he, joined military intelligence for a time, and then he was murdered by the Chinese communists. We consider him to be the first victim of the Cold War. And, it's a great organization. And so Robert Welch saw these things even back in the 1950s, and he got together a group of very influential men, primarily businessmen, and founded this organization that would operate in some senses like the Communist Party, right? But in very, very important senses, not like the Communist Party. So it does operate based on a chapter structure. So depending on where you live in the country, you might have one chapter in your community, you might have 10. Some cities have even more than that. And sometimes chapters collaborate, but really chapters are working with headquarters, which is in Wisconsin, on agenda items that are really fundamental to the preservation of freedom and civilization and the Constitution and things like this. And it's just a great organization. You can learn more at jbs.org. The goal is summed up in the motto, more freedom, less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. And so that's the goal. And, I'm a member. I've been involved for a long time. It's a phenomenal organization for those in the freedom fight who are looking for, productive things that they could work on that would help save our country. And it's also a very good source of information. They put out huge amounts of information, over a billion pieces of literature so far. And, jbs.org, you can learn a whole lot more.
Awesome. We got about, 7 minutes or so before the break. I'm going to go over a couple news stories and just get your reaction, how you piece these together. I mentioned the story in Mississippi. I'll kind of connect these two. Police raid church's drive-in service, issue $500 ticket to entire congregation. There was a drive-in church. Drive-in church means, and my uncle did this weekend, so we were at the church. It was Easter. The pastor is preaching with a microphone separate from everybody and has a PA or FM transmitter to everybody in their cars is listening. That's what a drive-in church is. Mississippi. They came, gave everybody a ticket. When they were confronted, the police said, your rights are suspended. Okay, put that with Kentucky. Kentucky's Democratic Governor Andy Beshear has issued a draconian mandate ordering authorities to record the license plates of Easter Sunday churchgoers and then quarantine them for two weeks. Those who attend these gatherings can expect public health officials to show up at their doors with mandates that they self-quarantine for 14 days. I mean, are they going to use facial recognition? How do they know they were driving? Are they just going to, I mean, there's a million different questions. Okay, these are two of the more prevalent stories, but certainly not unique across the country. What do you make of this push to stop church going?
Well, thank you for the question. And we've got a lot of that here in Florida, too. In fact, they arrested a very prominent pastor in Tampa. And this was national news for a while. This is absolutely crazy, Daniel. This is so far out of the bounds of what's acceptable that it's hard to know where to start. But I think we need to be clear. You know, I'll speak first as a Christian. The government has no legitimate authority to do these things. The same God who created civil government to punish evil and to protect the good also created church. These are completely different spheres of influence, completely different jurisdictions. This would be like the government saying children don't have to obey their parents anymore, right? Sorry, government.
Well, they're saying that too, Alex. I don't mean to interrupt, but they're saying that in school too. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. And that's another example of government stepping far outside the bounds of its proper jurisdiction. So, you know, God created family, God created civil government, and God created the church. Each one has its own realm. And so the family doesn't get to tell the church what to do. The church doesn't get to tell the government what to do. God has given each of these institutions their own set of instructions. For the government to come in and say, we're going to decide when the church gets to meet, we're going to decide if the church gets to meet, that's crazy. And you combine that with the stimulus package they just passed where they're going to be bailing out all the churches. This is very, very troubling for religious liberty. And so I think as Christians, we need to say this is completely improper. The church has its own governing authorities. God laid those out in Scripture. So if you want to know how the church should be governed and how decisions should be made in the church, consult your Bible, right? Government doesn't get to tell churches if and when they get to meet. In fact, you know, we have a lot of examples of this from Scripture. When the Pharisees and the religious leaders said to the apostles, hey, you guys can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they didn't say, oh, you're right, you're the government, I guess we just have to bow down and obey. They said, no, sorry, actually, we'd rather obey God than men. And I think that's the attitude the churches ought to be taking right now. If the elders get together and say, hey, yeah, maybe we should consider, you know, doing drive-in church or something for a time just so nobody gets sick. All right, that's one thing. If the church makes these decisions, that's one thing. But to have the government step in and say that is just completely out of bounds. And then, you know, speaking from a constitutional perspective as well, Daniel, this is absolutely unconstitutional in every possible way. The very First Amendment of the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. And of course, that also applies to mayors, that applies to state governments and so on. They have no authority to order the churches to shut down. They can issue recommendations, but, you know, this thing that we're going to be fining parishioners, we're going to be arresting pastors, you know, this is Soviet-style governance. This is not anything that Americans should be comfortable with, and people should be protesting this like crazy.
Okay, I'm going to ask you kind of the same question I asked Larry. I mean, I don't know how remember quite how I phrased it. Larry Klayman from FreedomWatchUSA.org was on earlier. I put it in context of mandatory vaccines that they keep saying, well, you're going to need a vaccine to be enter society. And I asked Larry, can they do that? No, they can't do that. And then I went to Larry and I said, same thing I'm going to ask you now. Well, they can't tell you you can't go to church either, but they're doing it. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, at what point do we stop them? At what point do we civil disobey? I mean, this is, what am I trying to say? It's almost bigger than protest. I mean, this is beyond protesting. They can't stop you from going to church. And I don't even know what I'm trying to ask you. It's against the law. They can't do it, but they're doing it. How would you respond?
Yeah, I think you just summed it up perfectly, Daniel. That's what's happening. They're not allowed to be doing this, but they're doing it. And so what do we do about this now? That's the question. And I think this is something that every individual in America should have been thinking about a long time ago. What is my line in the sand? Because, you know, as they pointed out in the Declaration of Independence, you know, we're okay with suffering while sufferings are tolerable, right? But at some point, we need to say, no, this is the line that you cannot cross. And for everybody, that's going to look a little bit different. You know, my lines include, you know, force vaccination. No, you won't force vaccinate me. No, you won't force vaccinate my family, period. If you try to stick a microchip under my skin, you know, that's another line that you just don't cross. And I think churches should have been thinking about this a long time ago. Any churches that haven't been thinking about and preparing for government tyranny and persecution, you got to wonder, what are the elders thinking? What are the pastors thinking that you didn't see this coming? Right, we just think that, oh, because we were born in America, suddenly we're immune to the things that have faced the church, that have faced the individual all throughout the world, all throughout human history. Don't be so naive. And so I think as individuals, we all need to say, you know, at this point, it is unacceptable, and I will no longer comply, and we need to stick to that. You know, if they try to forcibly vaccinate your children, and that's over the line, that's at the point at which you need to say, no, it's not going to happen. And frankly, I think we've passed that line a long time ago, and I wish that the American people would get together and collectively say, no, you're not going to shut down our churches. No, you're not going to force vaccinate us, because the longer we wait to put our foot down and say that this is unacceptable and we're not going to take it, the further they are going to go, the more of our liberties they're going to steal. And, you know, we have got to get serious about this because, again, we're going to wake up on the other side with a whole lot less freedom if we don't take action right now.
Do we have enough, we're coming on the break about 30, 45 seconds. Do we have enough, I don't know what the word is, character left in us? Do we have enough, for lack of a better word, piss and vinegar? Do we have enough fervency left in us to be able to make that stand in this country?
That remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of patriotic, God-fearing, good citizens who will stand up when the time comes, but how many of us there are remains to be seen. So I think right now we all need to be praying for our country.
Well, the time comes now, right? The time's here now.
It does.
I mean, the time is here. It's like when the time comes. The time is here, right?
Yep. You're right, Daniel. So we need to be paying close attention. I don't say that I know the answer to that. You know, I hope, and I have confidence that a lot of Americans are waking up and are willing to stand up. But will it be enough? I don't know.
Well, I'm not trying to push you in a corner, Alex. You know that. We could have this discussion at lunch somewhere. I mean, this is the same discussion we'd be having. I mean, that's kind of what all of us, even our listeners, are kind of throwing their hands up. What do I do? Is this the, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know what to do. This isn't right, but I don't know what to do. Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're listening to Alex Newman, WorldNet Daily, the New American, all-around American patriot. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877 877-
817-9829. Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. ThePowerMall.com is the place where you get the great products that change your life. That's what people have told us for 20-plus years. Joyce started something. Boy, she was ahead of her time, and we've continued it. Thank you for buying from the good guys. Buy from the good guys at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. It allows us to bring you people like Alex, and it changes your life, changes your health. What more could you want? We're talking to Alex Newman, the really outstanding writer from WorldNet Daily. He writes for WorldNet Daily, the New American. He goes all across the world, interviews people. Who is the most, kind of a side note, Alex, who is the most interesting person you've interviewed over the last few years that really has stuck with you?
Oh, man, that's a really tough question. But, you know, right now, I think Thomas Massie is one of the people who's very interesting because it seems like he is the only member of Congress out of, you know, 535 people up there. There's only one guy who thought they ought to have a recorded vote on the largest spending bill in history. How can it be that only one out of 535 thinks we even should have a recorded vote? I mean, that's, you know.
Is that a rhetorical question? Is that a rhetorical? I mean, what do you mean? How?
Right. We should know better. It's crazy.
Yeah, of course we know why. Anyway, Thomas Massie. Is there anybody that really surprised you? You know, the kind of like, oh my gosh, this person turned out to be really different than I thought.
Well, you know, a couple years ago, I met with a recently retired Undersecretary General of the United Nations, and I had a kind of expectations in my mind about what was going to get. I knew we agreed on one thing, that UN troops should not go around the world raping children and then claiming diplomatic immunity so that they wouldn't be prosecuted. You know, I knew we agreed on that because that's why he contacted me in the first place. I thought, you know, it'd be hard to find
there.
A normal
person
who wouldn't agree with that, right? But as we were talking, and a lot of it was off record, but as we were talking, I realized, whoa, this lady knows what's going on, and she's uncomfortable with it, and yet she was in the highest echelons of the United Nations, and I was just fascinated by that because you kind of have these preconceived ideas about, you know, the upper echelons of the system. You just assume that they're all, you know, evil, wicked people, and I was just really pleasantly surprised that no, this lady is a real human being, and she loves her family, and you know, she might have been deceived on some things, but, you know, she's a decent person, a decent human being. So I was pleasantly surprised by that.
You said she was uncomfortable. Uncomfortable with what? About?
Well, some of the stuff she told me off the record, but some of the narratives that the United Nations has been pushing, and that interview, most of it is available online if you go to thenewamerican.com. She was the Undersecretary General of the Office of Internal Oversight Services, the OIOS. This is basically like the UN police agency for policing internal matters. And so it's basically like, you know, the UN police who police the UN system, because the UN system is not accountable to any national government, to any law enforcement. They all have diplomatic immunity. And so her name was Ingabrit Olenius, and if people want to find that, they can. It's online at thenewamerican.com. And again, the interview was in the context of these UN troops that were exposed going around the world, literally raping little children. I mean, they were kidnapping 7-year-old boys and you know, passing them around, the whole UN crew. Oh my goodness,
my
it's stuff that makes you sick. It's the stuff that nightmares are made of. And then, you know, adding insult to injury, what happened was there was one guy in the UN Human Rights Office. And then it was Anders Kompass, who said, wait a minute, guys, wait, UN troops are raping children and we're not doing anything about this? Wait a minute here. So he passed the information off to French prosecutors, hoping that they would start criminal cases against some of these pedophile child rapists wearing UN blue helmets. And what actually happened was they escorted him out of his office under armed guard, and they demonized him, and they fired him. They actually brought all the leadership of the United Nations together at a secret meeting in Turin to figure out how can we destroy this man and make him just, you know, completely, utterly ruin his life. And so Ingabrit Olenius, who was, you know, the head of the OIOS before that, she was really, really upset about this. And I was, me and the New American were pretty much the only ones in the world who were covering this scandal at the time. So she reached out, and we had a meeting on an island in Sweden. Really interesting time. So,
wow. I mean, we could have talked 2 hours about that. Holy cow. Speaking of children and officials, Cardinal Pell was just released from Australia. Who made that phone call? What happened there?
You know, I was thinking the same thing, and it's just amazing how so many people like this tend to get off. And you know, Jeffrey Epstein is another good example of this.
Is he dead, or is he sitting on some island somewhere laughing?
It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if that's what was going on. And, you know, he could be dead. It could be that, you know, the people who he had dirt on knew that there was a possibility he would expose them. Clinton's. But you know, he could also. It's hard to know.
That was subtle.
Yeah, right.
Very subtle.
but what's really clear here is that there's a lot of members of the global elite who are into crimes that would shock the conscience, and they need to be stopped. They need to be exposed.
When are they going to be stopped? Let's talk about America specifically, because this is the land of the free, home of the brave, allegedly. When is that going to happen? When are we going to stop? We can't even get police to stop harassing us at church. You know, the idea of that we're going to stop the Clintons from doing anything is almost laughable if we can't stop them from leaving us alone at church. When are we going to do this?
That's a good question, Daniel. And, you know, depending on what day you catch me, I swing from being optimistic that there may be kind of a revival and a turnaround in America. We may see, you know, a temporary state of liberty return to this country. And, you know, I know a lot of people right now have gotten sucked up into this idea that Trump is actually using this coronavirus pandemic as cover to go arrest all the satanic
Global
pedophiles.
Oh, dear God, come on.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not going to happen, guys. You know, if you don't make things happen, they're not just going to happen for you. You can't just sit at home on Twitter and trust the plan and think that all the evil in the world is going to be routed by, you know, a knight in shining armor. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know, Daniel. I don't know. You know, I think part of this is God trying to get our attention. You know, the American people have turned away from God. They've turned away from the values that made America so strong, that made America so free. And unless and until we get a return to God and to the values that made America great, America's not going to be great again. And right now, you know, despite the Trump presidency, we're still moving in the wrong direction, as, you know, the police harassing churches makes eminently clear.
You know, I had this discussion with Pastor Chuck Baldwin. You know what I'm talking about, right? Chuck Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about, well, kind of what you said. Well, America needs just to return to God and repent and return to God. And it's been said by so many Christians so much it's almost lost its meaning. I would offer that, and I have offered continuously, almost screaming, and people think I'm a lunatic, that I'm somehow downplaying the Bible or downplaying Christianity. I am not, believe me. But to me, the American ethic is, if you're going to say, what is the American ideal, the American ethic, it is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. That is the American ideal. It also just happens to be the first part of the Bible, that dominion was given to man, that man is at a special place and has this divinity or magic or whatever word you want to use, something special placed in them to be able to go outside through this world and then exercise their free will. That's where it matches. That is the ethic. So when people say, when I hear, well, we need to repent and return to God, that doesn't mean necessarily to save America, well, we need to go to church again. Okay, yes, that's a good thing, but that's not going to save us necessarily. Just going to church, because a lot of Americans go to church. We need to get back to that ethic. That is what I have been screaming about and pleading about. The American ideal. We hold these truths to be self-evident. This truth is America, and it is the truth that will save us. That's what I believe. Your perspective.
Yeah. I agree with you, Daniel. And you're right. There's a lot of churches today. You might as well not go to, you know, if you're going to Joel Osteen's church, you know, no offense to you, but, you know, that kind of...
That's not going to save America. You going to Joel Osteen's church is not going to save America.
No, in fact, it's more likely to accelerate the destruction of America. It's a mockery of religion. It's a mockery of Christianity. It's a mockery of what the Bible teaches. And, you know, that is not what America needs. And one of the things I've been so fascinated by, Daniel, I volunteer at one of the homeschool co-ops we're involved in, and I'm teaching American history to 4th through 6th graders. And one of the things that struck me as so amazing, I'm using a history book, which is incredible in terms of relying on primary sources. And we've been reading some of the sermons from the founding era that a lot of our founding fathers sat through and listened during the founding era. And when you see what the pastors were preaching back then in terms of obedience to God, in terms of what the scripture teaches about government, about what the scripture teaches about liberty and individual responsibility and all, you realize we're light years apart from that. And so I agree with you. You know, the building block, the foundation at the heart of America is the idea that was encapsulated in the Declaration of Independence, the idea that all men are created. You know, that's an important statement right there. They're created. We didn't come from slime over billions of years with no help from God, right? It's ludicrous, and we need to get that idea out of our head, despite that being the official national religion of the United States of America taught to all of our children in public school. It's a dangerous false religion, and from that initial false doctrine stem all sorts of other horrible doctrines. Right? If you came from nothing, from slime over billions of years, that means there's no purpose to life. There can be no God-given rights. Right? All these different horrible false ideas stem from that initial false idea, which is a denial of the fact that we were created, not evolved from slime over billions of years with no God. So we do need to get back to a proper understanding of that, and we also need to understand that God's design for government and for the family and for the church, these are the foundations of civilization and political liberty. The founders looked at the world through a biblical worldview. God said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. So, of course, one of the reasons government exists then is to punish murder, because God said murder is evil, because you are made in the image of God. Your life has inherent value. Nobody has the right to take that from you except God. And on down the line, right? Why do you have a right to property? Well, because God said thou shalt not steal. That's why you have a right to property. Okay, why do you have a right to liberty? Well, because God endowed you with those rights. And until we regain a proper understanding of that, Daniel, I don't think we can ever get our country back. And so, you know, why pastors aren't preaching about this, why churches aren't talking about this, is, I think, a question that we all ought to be discussing with our pastors and with our elders. And there are some people trying to address this now. But, you're really going against the tide, especially now when all the churches are getting government bailouts and they're, oh, yes, master, we won't have a church service until you say it's okay, master. And this is the exact wrong attitude to have. And we've got a long way to go if we're ever going to regain our liberties and turn this ship around. So,
where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. So if there's no liberty, then that must mean the Spirit of God is waning too. So they're inseparable. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody. The Declaration of Independence is inseparable with the Spirit of God. That's what I've been trying to say.
And that's why we had liberty in America. And you know, I think that's so fundamental. The reason we had liberty in America for so many years is because of the biblical foundations, because of the biblical worldview of the people that created this nation. To the extent that we've departed from that, we've lost our liberty. And to the extent that we continue moving away from that, we're going to continue losing our liberty.
Amen. Let me go over some more. We got about 10 minutes or so. Some more news stories I have here, trying to get your response to it. Governor Ralph Northam, I call him Foghorn Leghorn, you know, the one, we just keep the baby comfy, you know, we'll just have a discussion with the doctor. You know who I'm talking about there. Over the weekend, or right before the weekend, Easter weekend, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam signs 5 gun control bills into law as he is celebrating after signing the 5 new laws. "Quote unquote laws." On Friday, as part of the agenda, he promised when Democrats won control both chambers of the House. He says he already signed into law a quote red flag bill, an expansion of background checks, and reinstated a limit that restricts Virginians from purchasing more than one handgun in a month. So, if you want 2 guns, one for you and your wife, Virginia is not for. It may be for lovers, but it's not for you. That's what. What do you make? Virginia is the battle line here for Second Amendment right now. We have people like Sheriff Vaughn, who was taught by Sheriff Mack, who was trained by Sheriff Mack. The sheriff stood up. The governor does not seem to be relenting. He is doubling down and pushing in the face of this. There really is a rubber meet the road kind of dynamic going on there. What do you make of Virginia and guns right now?
Well, you know, I think the elites, the establishment, have had an agenda to disarm us for a very long time. And I think in Virginia, they saw an opportunity to charge. And it actually illustrates their strategy very well. You know, you even have a lot of people in the pro-gun Second Amendment community celebrating as a victory that they didn't get everything that they want. Oh, they didn't get an assault weapons ban, right? We can still keep, our assault weapon, and so everything's okay. No, everything's not okay, you know. They asked for a mile. You let them take half a mile, and then you're celebrating because they didn't take the whole mile. That's the wrong way to look at this. We should not be celebrating them taking half a mile. We don't celebrate until we start moving in the other direction.
And how dire.
I do think it was. Go ahead, Dana.
How dire. You know, I just putting these two things together and all this. I mean, when they're coming after guns, you talk about canary in the coal mine. That is, I mean, you know, they're not letting you go to church, and they're coming after your guns. I mean, what more? If you just were dropped down from Mars and you saw this, you would be pretty freaking concerned. I would think you would think that they're trying to take over our country. I mean, what else? What other conclusion could you come to?
That's right. These are the most fundamental liberties that we have. Right, the religious liberty, the ability to gather with our churches to worship God, our Second Amendment rights, our ability to protect ourselves, our families, our lives, our liberty. These are the most fundamental God-given rights that we enjoy. And the fact that they are now openly and flagrantly attacking them, we need to be very concerned about this. And now, you know, this kind of gets into what we were talking about before the break, Daniel, is at, you know, what point do Americans start waking up? And I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, this is not good. This is, not good at all. But a lot of people think, well, this is just temporary, right? Once the dust settles, once coronavirus is over, then things will go back to normal. We can have our guns. We can have our church again. If people start feeling like we may not go back to normal, we may not get our gun rights and our religious liberty and our free speech and our right to assemble, if those things look like they're going to be infringed upon permanently or indefinitely, I think we'll see a very different reaction from the American people. Well, and, you know, this rally that we had in Virginia right before the gun control bills, I think is just a small taste of what will happen if these guys keep pushing. So they're very strategic. They don't push too hard, too far, too much all in one go. They go, you know, the Saul Alinsky strategy, right? Demand a mile and then take half a mile when you can. So we need to be really aware of this, I think.
You know, you just said that America thinks this is temporary. So, you know, it's kind of like the pastor back in Katrina when they were taking guns, house to house, taking guns from Americans. Yes, it has happened in Hurricane Katrina. You can just go see the videos if you don't believe me. But the one pastor says, well, let's just do what they say and then we'll sort it out later. That's kind of the attitude. don't you think the people who are planning this, they understand that technique, and they you know, that we talked about Facebook, we talked about algorithming, we talked about, you know, using artificial intelligence to see how far they can go. Do you not think a computer program, Watson or whatever, already came up, hey, do you want to do this? Well, then you got to come up with some temporary situation where people give away their liberties temporarily. Do you not think that they've thought about it? Do you not think that all this is in the cards, that they've thought this all the way through, that this is exactly why they're doing it this way, Alex?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Daniel. I think there should be no question about it. You know, they've got algorithms, they've got models, they've got public opinion surveys, they've got more data than you could even begin to comprehend. They've been gathering it on your children since they were in pre-kindergarten, right? You thought they were giving you free pre-kindergarten because they love you? Give me a break.
They
were
you,
gathering
yeah.
data on your children, you fool, right? And so, you know, the elites are very powerful, and knowledge is power. You know, it's a cliche, but it's true. They have a lot of knowledge. They know what makes people tick. They know how the average American thinks. They know how far they can push people before they spark a rebellion. And so they're very strategic about taking small steps. You know, they push as far as they think they can go. You know, and this has been known for decades now that they've been operating in this way. So, you know, the trick, I think, the key thing to remember, Daniel, is going to be, you know, we have to stop letting them get away with that. We can't say, oh, well, it's just a temporary measure, and so I'll let them infringe on my right to meet with my church, or I'll let them, you know, do this, that, or the other. We need to be very clear that these infringements are intolerable. They're not acceptable. They need to be stopped. But as long as the American people allow it to happen, I think it's going to continue happening. So.
One of my favorite quotes about the Founding Fathers, not from one of the Founding Fathers, there's two of them. One is by Robert Frost. He says, the Founding Fathers did not believe in the future. They believe the future in. And then the other is Daniel Webster, who was very young when the Revolutionary War happened. But he said, miracles do not cluster. And what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution. For if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. The reason I say that, and I put it what you just said, Alex, is because there will never, people think, well, we talk about the time. I'm of the opinion there will never be a time where this will be, oh, this is easy, this is obvious, this is what we have to do. It will never come. If you're waiting for that, it will never come. I'm not saying I have the solution. We're working with people. Alex knew we've talked behind the scenes. We'll continue to have some things we're working on. There will never come a time, in my opinion, where it's like, oh, this is so obvious. This is exactly what we do. This is just like the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers didn't believe in the future. They believed the future in. They saw what the tide of history. They didn't believe in it. Do you get what I'm saying? They didn't believe what their eyes were telling us. They believed in something else, and they went against it all. They bucked everything to give us a gift, an inheritance that we haven't seen for 6,000 years. It's a miracle. It's stunning. And so today, do you think it's going to be any different for us to defend this and to protect this and to put liberty forever for our country and for our children, our inheritance, and have that divinity within us be able to be protected? Do you think there's going to be some golden lamp-lit path for us to follow? It will never come.
No.
And it didn't come in 1776 either. Your final thoughts are yours, Alex.
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%, Daniel. And when I read these sermons that were preached in the founding era, I understand why these really, really brave men and their wives and their children, why they were willing to put everything on the line. It's because they had faith in God. They had faith that what God said was right, and they had faith that if they were acting within God's will, God would be on their side and God would support them. And guess what? They were right. They defeated the most powerful empire that existed at the time in the world, the most powerful
the New
empire
World
that
Order.
Existed at the
they
time.
They were the New
That's
World
right.
Order
it,
of the
it,
time.
That was the New World Order of the day. That's right. And these brave men and women and children stood up and said, absolutely not. We're going to stick with God. And they won. And so we need to go back to that. We need to go back to that kind of preaching. There are people out there working in this space. You know, Pastor Paul Blair, who's a friend of mine, is out there training pastors across America in biblical citizenship, a proper understanding of the U.S. Constitution, the proper
role. I need to talk to him. What's his name? Paul Blair?
Paul
I need
Blair.
To talk
yep,
to
he used
him.
To be an NFL football player. He's got the Liberty Pastors Network. And he's phenomenal. And he's giving speeches now, training seminars to pastors across America. And I think that's really what we need. We need a, you know, revival in the churches leading to a revival of political liberty, a revival of understanding, an increase in knowledge, and really an increase in the faith of the American people and the morality of the American people. You can't have liberty and a free political system with an absence of morality, and the Founding Fathers understood that. So we really need to get back to these important principles, these important precepts that were so widespread in the founding era, if we hope to reclaim the incredible heritage that was bequeathed to us by our Founding Fathers.
I have said this more, increasingly more lately on the broadcast, and I want to get your reaction to it. Everybody who is listening to this broadcast, everybody who's listening to Alex Newman right now, your life in this world, everything you have in this world, is not worth as much as the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights. How would you respond to that?
Amen. No question about it.
Well, there you go. Well, that was quick. We got a minute left.
That's a simple answer. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And we need to be thinking in those terms. You know, all the things that you... And I think this is applicable to all of America. You know, it's one of the things that's been so interesting about the coronavirus is that all these idols are falling, right? The sports and the government's going to save me. You know, people are realizing that their faith in these idols was misplaced. We need to go back to an understanding of the true God and what the true God wants. And, you know, God hopes for us. He endowed us with inalienable rights. And if we live the way he's told us to live, if we believe the things he's told us to believe, liberty will inevitably follow. So.
Well, you talk about morality. You know what the biggest morality is? That you respect God's creation. To respect God's creation, that means you respect the divinity and the rights in your neighbor and your fellow man.
Amen.
That's a bigger morality than, oh, don't get drunk on Friday night. You know, people think that, mm-hmm. that's morality. Don't cheat on your wife and don't sleep or don't drink around. Okay, yes, that's true. But it's not as big as morality as respect the divinity in your fellow man. That's a bigger morality. If you want to talk about morality.
Amen.
Anyway, last thought, public schools, get the heck out of public schools, yay, nay, what?
Absolutely. Yeah, last time I was on the show, we talked about that. Get your children out of public schools. Go to thenewamerican.com and hit the subscribe button. And thank you again, Daniel, for having me. It's always such a pleasure. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the great work. And thank you to the listeners.
Hey, God bless you, Alex. Stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. That's our goal. Love you. Stay tuned. See you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.